You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. It's 9:05. Exactly when I told
him. Socialist Marxist left us, but he.
Exactly when I told him we were going to go on today.
He turned into a great guy, you know.
Joining us is every once in a while we like to do the Granberry Business Report, and that's where the gunner kind of goes out and talks business with businessmen. Mike, what's going on? How are you today?
I'm good. This is, business reporter Granberry Mike Musselman reporting live from Custom Boots in Akron, Texas.
Buck Custom Boots. Does Buck have an opinion on the Supreme Court decision about internet companies getting charged sales tax?
Internet companies getting charged sales tax. Yeah, everybody pays taxes.
Everybody pays taxes. You know what? There was a day that maybe we should have promoted internet commerce, but that day, that ship has sailed, man. Too much money going through it, and they shouldn't get. I mean, and now our big box stores are at risk of going out of business. So
bring back the mom and pop shop.
Yeah, but the bottom line of that was all those state and local governments wanted a piece of some of that money because they need it. So anyway.
You know, that's the problem, is everybody wants a piece of the pie.
That's right.
You know what? I don't like pie that much. I just fucking lick the crumbs on it. I don't care. I don't want a piece of the pie.
Well, you'll change your tune when you become an alderman in Granberry. You'll be like, Matt, we got to put that road in, and I don't see any other way. We go, you know.
Yeah. No. You know, and I guess, you know, if I ever won the lottery, I told Buck this one time. I get a big ranch. I build Buck a big house there and shop. So he wants to do boots. He does this, and then we would I build a few houses on that big ranch just for some good friends that I like to talk to.
Right.
And then just have some kind of menial job just to make us feel like we're fucking needed. You know, like maybe.
Whoa! What's with the F word? Just out of the blue, right there.
I didn't say that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm denying it.
Sorry.
It must be
my headset.
I'd build a house for you.
What?
Even though you'd give me an early death for stressing my ass out talking. But,
And so that's what you do if you won the lottery? What would I do if I won the lottery? Well, first of all, I'd be respectful.
You would block our phones in a heartbeat.
No, I wouldn't. Are you kidding me? That's one of the best things
in
my life.
You'd probably buy us dinner, but then you would make us piss.
No. You know what? I would do that because I would not want you to fall into the trap of, oh, Mac won the lottery. He's paying for everything. No, boys.
Yeah, I know. See? You want to teach us a lesson. I know how that works. Yeah.
No.
My dad used to say, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And you're like, yeah, sure, Dad.
One of the great lies. One of the great lies of
great
life.
Great lies of parenthood.
There you go. No, but I would be mindful that, you know, a lot of people, when they win the lottery, they get their lives ruined. They're like relationships with other people are destroyed. Yeah, that's what I'd give it. I'd bury some, and I'd give the rest away.
No, see, that's your problem. Don't give the money away. Make people work for it.
No, I'm giving it
away.
No,
it's a bad lesson.
No. I'm gonna give a bunch to Semper Fi Fund. Who else am I gonna give money to?
The Gunner Fund.
I'd give you some money. I'd give you some money.
Like I said, I would have a big ranch.
All the ass clowns would get some money. You know.
I'd put in a big vineyard. I'd have a big vineyard on one side and have like a stone, you know, winery, you know, with the casks and stuff, kind of something out of San Luis Obispo area or, you know, up there in the mountains.
I didn't think you were that
way. So the wife could go there and hang out with Melanie, Buck's wife, and all the other wives could go up there during the day and just, and they wouldn't make wine. They'd have people making wine, but they could sit at the table and drink the wine and talk about the wine. give them something to do all day.
Why don't you just let them keep their job?
They don't want to.
They don't.
No one wants to do that stuff. Yeah.
Nobody wants to work.
Right. That's another big lie that are. Oh, you know what? I would still might do my job. Well, that's a lie.
That's a lie.
Yeah, they didn't win enough. If that's their case, they're not winning enough.
Yeah, that was a sign over over Auschwitz, right? Work will make you free.
Yeah, there's another big lie.
There you go. If you don't need to work, why would you? You could just exist like the Indians did on the Great Plains.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to see a trend here with all the. Remember, we talked yesterday or Tuesday about the Marine Corps lies.
Oh yeah, we just talked. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. And then now I see a big trend in. It's all over the place. It's not just the Marine Corps.
Of course not.
Right.
Well, give me a couple great. Give me a couple great lies.
The greatest lies told to humanity.
Yeah.
The world is round. Earth's flat. Or yeah, the greatest lie that all I've never masturbated.
What? Where did that come from?
I'm just asking. I'm just telling you. That's the greatest lie. Any friend, you know, it's like, oh, I've never done that. You're like, all right, let's stop the lies right now.
Have you ever been aboard ship?
Yeah. Were you ever deployed on a U.S. Navy vessel? Yes. Okay, so now I know you're lying.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's some funny jokes, too. Guys would make jokes about masturbating, right? But I'm gonna lay on my I'm gonna lay on my stomach for a while and play hard to get. What? Right?
Yeah, that was good. Why you sleep on your stomach if you're playing hard to get?
Yeah, you hear this stuff, especially when you hear it for the first time. You know what? It is. You just stop. Like, what did he just say? That shit is funny. That shit is funny. All right, other great lies.
Other great lies told to humanity?
Yeah, told to humanity. How about to little kids? Santa Claus? Santa Claus is nothing but a big fat lie.
Yeah, you know, the whole Santa thing, though, because, like I said, we talked about this before, is, you know, the real true meaning of Christmas is lost with this materialistic, you know, bullshit about presents and giving gifts and, it's that whole, you know, oh, I gave a gift, I feel good, you know. Oh, you know what's another good lie is when people, not all people, because I do know people, like, it's better to receive than to give. Yeah, and you're like, well, is it better to give than to receive, or is it better to receive than to give?
It's better to give than receive.
Yeah, but people don't, that's not the way people are, man. People would rather receive than give. Why? Look at the world.
Yeah, but let me tell you, if you, I was talking to somebody yesterday.
Valentine's Day. That's the biggest lie, right?
The big lie. But you have Valentine's Day every day. So, it's not even a thing for you.
Well, yeah.
Your wife, your life living in like nirvana. Yes.
Well, not every day.
Not every day?
If you ask her, that's probably not a true statement. But what I say is just the fact that living with, you know, being my spouse itself is, that's, you know, as close as you're going to get to nirvana.
So just by virtue that she lives with you, that's Valentine's Day?
She gets to claim that title. She earned the title.
Wow. Good for her. Good for her. You know, but you have to be careful with that stuff. Cause my ex-wife, when she hear me talking trash on the radio about her, she a few times she called in, like, and he answered the phone. Good morning. You're on my radio show. It's called Mac Talk, right? You're on Mac Talk.
Yeah.
And then, like, you hear this. are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't know who you are. Like, why would I talk about you? Okay, do people want to know the truth? And you're like,
about Gunner?
whoa. Nobody needs to play that card. Okay.
That's another lie.
Right. I'm just telling you.
There's another lie.
You need
people
to be,
say,
you need to be very careful.
I like the truth. I want to hear the truth.
You know what? Yeah. The truth, you know, when somebody looks at you and says, can I be honest with you? Your response should be very careful. Be very careful with what you're about to say. Okay?
You're walking on thin ice.
Yeah, because you may say something that will change our relationship forever. Okay?
Yeah. It's like the military term of that is, with all due respect.
Right.
Here comes the, yeah.
Here comes the most disrespectful thing that I can say, and I'm going to get away from it with it.
I've thrown out the blanket statement, with all due respect, which means you can't punish me for what I'm about to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can.
Yeah. But people would say that shit. People would say that shit to me in front of like we were in Afghanistan. Sir, with all due respect, and I just yell, stop! Whatever disrespectful thing's about to come out of your sewer, shut it, okay? I don't play that game.
Yeah.
And everybody would just start laughing. Yeah, what do you think? You got the Visa card out, the disrespect Visa card by saying that? Shut your disrespectful mouth. Got it?
Yeah.
And everybody's just laughing. Boom! They'd laugh, too, because they knew they were about to be disrespectful. But normally, everybody stands around, yes? And then gets boomed. Something disrespectful right in front of God and everybody. Come on, man. What's up with that? Not me, though.
Yes.
Lance Corporal.
With all due respect.
Lance Corporal McNamara doesn't play that game. And plus, it was always a good comedy routine. Right? Everybody liked
it.
Well, when you yell, shut up, out loud in front of God and everybody. Everybody loved that. Everybody thought that was funny. It was always good for a few laughs. Give me another great lie. Santa Claus, that's not a bad lie, but again, if you don't educate your kids as they get a little bit older about that giving's more important, then it is. They don't even understand the meaning of Christmas. If it's about presents after they're about 12 and you haven't taken them to volunteer at a shelter or go deliver Meals on Wheels at Christmas or something like that and kind of rub their snouts in it, if you haven't done that, you're a shit parent. Yeah.
Okay, so I told you this story, I think. I don't know if I did on the air, but I told you this. The most meaningful Christmas I remember of all was Philadelphia, 1991. I was on the USS Kitty Hawk. She was in dry dock. We were at the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard. And I met a gal. I ran into some gal that worked at, she was like a hospital administrator, and we were Marines. It was another function, and we were in our blues, and we were doing this function, and she came up to us and said, I don't know what you guys are doing on Christmas, but, and she goes, I think it would be great if you could come to the children's hospital and hand out presents for the children. We had this big Christmas drive, we had a big Christmas party, and some of them have expressed interest in the military. And so we're like, man, that'd be great. Yeah, you can count me in. So like three of us. We're in our blues, I'm a sergeant, you know, looking sharp, yeah, you know, sexy, hot, whatever you want to say, right?
Wait. And is this before you missed the Marine Corps ball in
No, this was after the Argentina thing.
So you've already done the been UA in Argentina.
Yeah.
So you have a track record of when your dress blues go on, bad things tend to happen.
No, this is Christmas. I'm not at a ball.
I know, but do you have a track record of like unlawful conduct once you throw your dress blues on?
No.
I think you do.
Only that one time where I didn't go to the ball.
All right. Continue.
Okay. So we went to the hospital. It's the children's hospital in Philadelphia. And so we go there, we walk in there, and these people are there and like, oh, this is still going to be so great. The kids are talking about, yeah, let's do this. You know, like, yeah, we're pumped. And then we're walking through like this corridor, and, you know, they're talking about the hospital, talking about the programs. and I look on the side of the sign or something, and it's there's like a little thing, and it says terminally ill. And my heart was like, oh. And I remember looking at the nurse, and I said, are these children terminal? And she's like, yeah, they're all diagnosed with some types of terminal, of disease. You know, then it went from this, ha, 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 to this, whoa. Well, then we walk in there, and the kids were so, you know, this is what I taught. The kids were so full of life, so, like, mature, accepting. And, I mean, it took not even, 3 minutes, dude, and I was doing the, oh, my God, who's cutting the onions? Or, you know, man, I'm just can't, you know, just kind of trying to hide. I mean, these kids were just full of laughter, telling stories, you know, and they'd make like little remarks about, you know, they'd say something and say, oh, yeah, maybe I won't be here next weekend. And you're like, you know, these are like 9-year-old, 10-year-old kids, and you're trying to hold it together. And I just remember, like, but the faces of them, and then Natalia, and then this, you know, they want to hear stories, they have pictures, you know, it's like being a rock star. That was one of the most memorable Christmases I could ever think of. Because it wasn't about, at the end of the day, it wasn't about anything, you know, I didn't get anything other than, I just remember, I learned some really good lessons on life. In perspective, you know, perspectives. And the thing I learned it from was from, you know, 8-year-old to 12-year-old kids that were probably more adultish in their behavior than I was. And they, I mean, just the way they perceive things and the way they looked at life now. You know, it's that, man, I wish I had that much clarity, you know, that type of thing. But yeah, life lessons learned.
But that's the giving part, Mike. That's the giving part. And I would tell you, mine was Christmas.
No, they gave me.
I know, but you were giving. You went there to give.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No. See, that's the trick.
You can.
See, that's what people say.
You can deny it, but you went there to help. You right?
That's no, what, yeah, I did.
Okay.
I went there to
Thank
help.
You.
But
Thank
the
you.
Trick is, it wasn't giving for me. It was giving for them.
Right.
Because
I'm with
what
you.
They gave me is more than I ever gave them.
But I would tell you that happens. I would tell you 100% of the time when you go do that stuff, you always get more back. And you walk away from those.
Yeah.
When you go to give, you walk away and you're a different person. You're an affection. Mine was 2008. We're delivering meals at the St. Michael's Church has this big Christmas community Christmas festival dinner and turkey gravy. There's presents if you don't, you know. So if you're homeless, if you're just down on your luck and don't have money, or if you're alone, come to this celebration. And it's non-denominational, everybody welcome. And so we go down there, and we've done it for a few years, serving food and stuff like that. So walk in, and they're like, hey, Mac, you guys have cars. Could you drive? And could you go pick people up? Yeah. So me and Patrick was 19 at the time. That's how I remember. It's 2008. Me, Patrick, and Colleen is 2008. Colleen's 5. So we're in one car. And we're going and picking people up. So now we pick everybody up, and they say, could you go deliver these meals to this developmental home? Sure. So, I don't know, there's about 20 meals or so. So we put them in the back of the vehicle. It's cold in North Dakota, right? It's probably 10 below. So it's like a suburban vehicle. And so we get there, we get a shopping cart, we stack all the meals in, we go in, and... You know, there's a lot of people that are mildly mental retarded living there and have different developmental challenges. So we come in, and they all start screaming and yelling, right? Colleen looks around like, this is awesome. We go knock on the first door, and there's a man with in a walker. He's got an oxygen tank because he's got emphysema, and the room has a TV on really loud, newspapers stacked to the ceiling. His wife's sitting at a card table playing solitaire, and she's a single amputee above the knee, right? And so he opens the door, and Patrick says, we're here from St. Mike's. And he says, what took you so long? Patrick said, well, it's kind of snowing, and we had some people up. He goes, I hope you didn't I hope you don't. I hope you didn't forget the ice cream this year.
I just witnessed an OSHA violation, by the way.
That's all right. And so Patrick says, no, I've got the ice cream right here. So we go in, and, you know, we say hi to everybody. But I can tell, like, so this is part
of
Christmas.
You should put your acetone in that clear jug like that next to your water.
This is part of Christmas that my kids have never seen, right? And so we do about two or three more versions of that. And as we're walking to the car to go back to get more meals at the church, my 19-year-old kid looks at me and he says, I don't need any presents as your dad. And I looked at him and I said, what? And he said, I am the most fortunate kid on the planet. He said, I got family. I got people who care about me. And when your 19-year-old looks at you and says, I don't need anything for Christmas, because he's volunteering and he's seeing a side of the city that most people don't get to see, that's awesome stuff, and it's affected him to this day. And you do that by going and, you know, just helping. And you walk away from that, I think, like Mike talks about, you know, how many years ago was that, Mike? What year? 1991. That's a long time ago, and he's talking about it like it was yesterday, can remember it in high definition because of the way it impacts you. And so that's why, to me, kids are so spoiled these days. You know, I was getting up Colleen's ass. I said, how can you be spoiled in a family that doesn't have very much money? She's like, what? I'm not spoiled. I said, you're so spoiled. And if you don't rub their snouts in it, if you don't introduce them to that stuff, you're not preparing them to be great people in life.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
We've talked about this at a show about, like, experiencing what a homeless Christmas would be like. You know, what does that feel like? What's a homeless Thanksgiving feel like? What's a homeless holiday period feel like? You know, and you know, I'm not saying to do this all the time, but your kids need to understand that, you know, they basically where they're at in the ovarian lottery.
Yeah. They won.
You know, they've won the ovarian lottery. And you may not make, you're in lives, you may not make a ton of money. You may not make, you know, huge amounts. But in the end, it comes down to is you are so much better off than most. Really, you are. I mean, just for the fact that you're listening to the show on either a computer, an iPhone, you know, some type of electronic device, you're pretty good off. You're pretty well off, man. You're doing pretty good for yourself.
You're winning.
You're winning. Even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it, believe me, you are winning. When you put yourself in the percentages of the world, you're in the top percentages. You really are. Not only did you win the ovarian lottery that you're born in the United States, that you've won the ovarian lottery that you're born in middle class or, you know, upper middle class or whatever, but you're not where most people in America, you know, not most, but the majority of people in the world, would be. You know, so there's a smaller percentage of people that are doing well than you believe.
No.
So you're one.
Well, and I'll tell you what, in the United States, with the shrinking middle class, it's been more the case than ever that I think for the first time in American history, children are being handed a worse future than their parents were handed. And that's a sign of a growing lower class as more money gets yanked out of our system and through the internet and goes into very, very few hands. So interesting. To me, it's just part of parenting. And I'll tell you what, and it's so rewarding to have those conversations with your kids when you get in a car. Dad, why did he have an oxygen tank on? Dad, what do you think happened to her leg? You know? Mm-hmm. And then I, after volunteering for Special Olympics, how do you get mentally?
Yeah, that was cool too.
Yeah, how do you get mentally retarded? You know, but you know, this one really high functioning athlete, she's not retarded, Dad. Why was she playing? No, she is retarded. Right? She's mildly mentally retarded, but she qualifies for Special Olympics. No, Dad. No, Chrissy. No, I know Chrissy from Minot, who's like a kick-ass soccer player. I yelled at one kid because he was so high-functioning. I thought it was in a partner game. So Special Olympics has partner games that, you know, you have Special Olympics athletes, and then they have partners. And I thought the kid was a partner, and he was dominating the game. So I went to the coach, and I was director of sports. I said, hey, you need to talk to see that kid? You need to talk to him. He's not supposed to take over the game. And the coach looks at me and starts laughing. He goes, Mac, he's an athlete. I said, what?
And so, well, one thing that I've always hated in that group is I hate the word normal.
Yeah.
You know, who gets to make that word up? I mean, what is normal?
Yeah, what's that mean?
What if we're all the ones that are messed up and they're the, you know, it cracks me up. People, and you know, you see these people and they're much stronger that they have to go through this world with that difficulty facing this social environment and they succeed. Those people are the people that we should put up on our, that we loft up in the air and we make our heroes. Because what they have to go through to get through, again, the social dynamics of what normalcy is.
Right. You know,
the beauty of it.
I'm telling you, if you want to have a great family experience, go down and volunteer as a family at a Special Olympics event. You will come away.
I did that.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia too. We did Special Olympics and, I was a hugger. And man, I had the best day of my life. These kids were so freaking great, man. You see them come running down, and you'd be looking right at you in the eye, and they cross that finish line, and you pick them up, and man, they're just like, oh, it was. Talk about happy. You want to feel happy? Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Nothing in the world makes you feel happier
than
something like that.
Right? Mike, you walk away floating from that volunteer experience. And like I said, if you do it as a family with your kids, you have incredible conversations with your kids. My kids have been so affected by volunteering at Special Olympics in terms of the way they treat anybody with a disability. The lieutenant is gifted in terms of he's got this smile. He's a good-looking kid. He's got this great smile. In high school, I had a teacher come up to me and said, hey, does Patrick have some kind of background in special ed? I said, Patrick? No, he doesn't. And I said, why do you ask? And they said, he's the best student in this high school of 2,000 people in terms of the way he treats people with any kind of disability. I said, oh, that comes from him. We volunteer at Special Olympics. He's grown up with it. And I said, and he knows the only thing they want to do is be treated like everybody else. And this teacher, she said, he is so funny. These kids will be sitting together, and he walks in to the cafeteria. From the other side of the cafeteria, he puts his both hands up in the air, and he yells, "What's up?" And he said, and they start laughing, and then he comes over, and he and his buddies will have lunch with him. And I said,
yeah.
I said, yeah. You know what he learned after asking a lot of questions and why this and could that have happened to us, and. They only want to be treated like any other kid, and that's what he does.
Well, that's like, right? But that's anybody. That's anybody. Everybody wants to be treated with deep dignity and decency.
Right, right. And we'd be out, and they'd see him, and they'd yell at him, Patrick! And he'd laugh.
Hi, babies.
Dude.
Oh, Bucks tell me that a bunch of crybabies want to be treated with dignity and decency.
Yeah, what is that? That's so
man, that's asking too much today, boy. We can laugh about it, but that's who we are. We're, you know.
Yeah, Buck.
That's the way we are.
No, you know what, but
Buck's a big teddy bear, man. He just acts tough. He's a nice guy. He's got a heart bigger than most
people. Right, right, right. Don't try to cover up for him.
No, he is.
Here's an email.
He is, man. He's got a big heart.
Here's an email. Mac, since you were director of sports at Special Olympics, that was a while ago, by the way, 1998, as a matter of fact, when you volunteer, what can you do as a volunteer You can present medals. Mike was a hugger.
What's that?
Mike's job was to hug people all day. And Mike, so what were you doing? You were hugging them when after they got medals and stuff like
when
that?
When they crossed the finish line.
Yeah.
So when they come across the finish line, let me see how many drops put in. I want you to be like this. Okay. Oh, I don't need any more. I don't need any more water. Okay. Oh. Buck's giving me some electrolytes. I didn't know they came like in a bottle. You can add electrolytes just in regular drinking water, so you're not drinking all that.
Hey, nobody cares.
Sugar.
Finish the explanation of a hugger, you dumbass.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're all over the map again.
I'm not. You are.
So you sit at the finish line, and when the kid comes across, right in front of the line, you're there. You grab them and you hold them and you pick them up and you give them encouragement. Yeah.
Hugger. That's what a hugger does. You can. They have a place where the athletes can eat. You can be one of the medal presenters. You can be an escort. So they form up teams and you escort them. You know, if you played like whatever they're doing, soccer tournament or whatnot, you could be an official, right? Most of them don't need to be credentialed except in the final games and things like that. If you've been a player and you can blow a whistle, you know, you can help. So there's all kinds. Look, don't even worry about what you're going to do. Just go there and they'll have a volunteer tent. Sign up. And then just, and let me tell you, it is awesome. It's fun. And in terms of volunteering goes, your heart will swell like the Grinch's heart swells in the movie, like 10 times. It'll be like that. Another email question.
Okay.
Mac, are we going to get a World Cup update? Pretty hard to believe Germany's out of the tournament. The Italians not even in the tournament.
Oh,
that's some crazy
why
stuff.
Why did you bring that up? Now, Buck's all pissed off.
Why?
He's out of the team. Because it's World Cup. They're Europeans playing foosball. It's like the, what was that movie with the football player when his mom found out, you ain't playing no foosball, boy. You know why alligators so hungry? They got all that teeth and no toothbrush.
Okay, look, we don't care. We don't. Buck, why is Buck hating on everything today? All right, everybody.
No, that's just the way. Buck is having fun.
Oh yeah. And then after he hates on something, you're like Buck's apologist today. He's not really like that. He's different. Okay, so tell us about.
Well, I apologize for you every damn day too. So don't start doing that.
No, you don't.
Mike's not really that way. He's really a nice guy. He's not come off with jackass.
You're like Nitro Man on me. Yeah, he is like that. Trust me. So give us the word. No,
yeah, that's true. I do say that.
I know.
He's exactly the way he is.
I know.
So today, today Japan against Poland and Senegal against Colombia. It's a do or die. For Senegal and Japan, or Colombia, actually. Colombia's gotta get a win, they gotta get in there. But, Poland's out, man. Poland, they're done.
The
no matter
polls.
If it's win or loss, polls are out.
Okay, have you come to any conclusion in terms of, Colombia has beaten Senegal 1-0 and will advance out of Group H, as in hotel? No, that's the World Cup update.
Right.
So have you kind of decided, let's see, other games today, England and Belgium play at 11 o'clock Pacific
huge
time.
Game.
What's that?
That's going to be a huge game.
And Panama and Tunisia play, and Japan and Poland have already concluded. Poland beat Japan 1-0. So
my daughter said, she looked at that one day, she goes, what is that? When I said, what? She goes, Tunisia. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, Tunisia. And I'm like, what are you trying to pronounce? This was your little. And she's like, Tunisia. And I'm like, point, what is it? She looks at me and I go, oh, Tunisia. She looks at me and she's like, how do you get Tunisia out of Tunisia? And I'm like, just pay attention to
that. Pay attention for once. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to your father.
Well, use common sense when you look at words.
Well, yeah, that's my sister says, what is a recipe? What? Yeah.
Yeah.
This thing's talking about a recipe. You mean a recipe? Like every head
don't
in
laugh
the...
at your don't that's not funny. Don't laugh at your sister.
Oh my, she's dead. She's not gonna know. Yeah. So
this is way. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you have to pick who's gonna win the World Cup.
I said France.
No, you didn't. Last time I talked to you, you said you weren't really sure. You were all over the place. So you're saying now France is going to win.
I pick France.
Okay. All right. Mike's got France in his pants, and he needs to dance. Who should I pick?
Pick Poland.
No, they're not through. Oh, wait a minute. You dumbass. I start, I think, the second hour of the program, and I get this article texted to me about the restoration of a
Did you see the picture?
So he's like, talk about this now. I said, no. He goes, talk about it. Come on. He said, no, we'll talk about it when you come on. And then he comes on, he doesn't even remember it. Okay, so tell the story about this article.
Okay, that's a true photograph. The right-hand side is the before. This is what it looked like. It's a 500-year-old statue of St. George, right? England. So the king of England back 500 years ago. And so they hired this restoration guy, and it's a statue. And then when he got done with it, this is what it looks like. It looks like a freaking cartoon. So when you read the article, they are, they're livid about this whole restoration process.
He looked like a queer, that's probably what he looked like.
Yeah, he probably looked like that anyway. But, so it's a 500-year-old statue that got a restoration job, and it looks like some, cartoon character when they got done. I mean, it is hilarious. You read this and they were like, you know, gasped. Were heard throughout the crowd.
So, but yeah, this is the heroic statue of St. George in the Church of St. Michael de Estella, Spain, had darkened substantially since its creation in the 16th century. When the church tasked a local workshop with the statue's restoration, St. George returned as a bit of a mess. In the process of restoring, his look appears to have been revamped entirely. His face now has an otherworldly pink glow, and his suit of armor is befitted with some splashy red accents. And they show you the pictures. So, what happened, Mike?
They probably got a restoration guy that couldn't restore anything. That's my guess. And then... Yeah, they took the cheapest bid.
The mayor said that the restoration was not done by professionals, but rather an academy of crafts, he said. He believed that the part... that's like the Granberry Craft Club is going to restore the statue of General Granberry.
Yeah, you're right. That's what exactly what it'd be.
Why is General Granberry blue now? What... Mike Musselman made a little bit of a mistake. He, like, does a lot with guns, so he told us he knew a lot about metal, and really the chemical that he used.
If you look down, keep going down that article, who do they compare it to? They have a picture of that St. George compared to Marty Feldman from, from Frankenstein. With the googly eye.
It's hilarious, dude. It is pretty close, too. It does. And in the movie Young Frankenstein, I think Marty Feldman played Igor, right? He's got those bug eyes.
Yeah.
And he's got that kind of black shroud on, if you remember the character. That's what this St. George, he looks like he's got this blank look on his face.
Right.
It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. Can you?
Yeah, if you keep going down, the whole city started making fun of it in posts, putting their own picture there. I mean, cartoon characters. Oh man, it's funny as hell.
How do you turn a piece of 16th century history over to the local like craft club? Yeah, you want to know why? Because it's not going to cost you anything. And Spain is on its ass relative to money. And so now we're just going to jack up our art. The only thing we have going. Have you ever been to Spain, Mike? You have been to Spain, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, but now this might bring tourism to there. To
the
take
world.
A picture with this stupid statue.
No doubt. People love statues. Where? How did you get to Spain? You're not an East Coast Marine.
I drove across the... Well, we drove down.
When you're on barracks duty.
I wasn't on barracks duty.
Whatever you want to call it.
But yeah, we went to Spain. Went to all those places down there.
Interesting. What did you have a favorite of all the trips, of all the short trips you took, did you have a favorite?
Yeah, I told you, Portugal.
Is your favorite country?
Yeah, favorite country in Europe is Portugal.
Wow. The Prime Minister of Portugal was at the White House yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Are you fired up? The President and your boy Vladimir Putin are going to meet in Helsinki. Yeah, they're going to have a summit. Are you fired up about that?
In Helsinki, right?
In Helsinki, yeah, Finland.
Well, this is the only time that Finland becomes relevant again.
No, we love our Finns. Right?
When is the last time you heard anything when we talked about Finland?
It's been a while. I'll grant that to you. It's been a while.
What, World War II?
No, post-World War II. Yari Kurri's from Finland. Yari Kurri's from Finland. He was one of...
Coming from Finland.
The what?
What was the last major world headline coming from Finland?
Yari Kurri makes elected to the NHL Hall of Fame. One of Wayne Gretzky's wingers. Yeah. That's the last one I remember.
Okay. So, yeah. There shows, yeah. Not bashing on Finland.
It sounds like you are.
But.
It sounds like you're Finland bashing right now.
No. Finland's a good country.
It is. They have the best health care in the world.
Why? Is it free?
No. Well,
it's privatized.
No, it's probably free. Finland's leaders are debating and planning broad reforms to the country's healthcare system. The sector received high marks in an international study on healthcare. Whoa!
Bullshit.
Whoa! But I mean,
any socialized healthcare is not a good program unless you socialize also the pay. The pay cap of doctors and nurses and all those things.
And athletes.
Pharmaceutical company. Where you put a pay cap and say you can't earn more than this.
Well, that's what you do in a socialist country, though, right? You're heavily taxed.
Well, that's what you have to do in order to make healthcare good. Because that's right. Where the money goes to.
Right.
Pharmaceutical companies.
All right, listen to this. The quality and equality of healthcare services in Finland was rated among the best in the world. Finland, Iceland, Norway, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Switzerland, and Australia were at the top of the list. Okay, right?
Luxembourg. Luxembourg is as big as Hood County, and there's probably
it's not even
600 people living there.
Yeah, it's not even as big as Hood County. Okay,
Finland
has about 1,500 people in it. Iceland has about 70. Okay, and it's almost empty because they're at the World Cup. Norway's got about 80 people. The Netherlands, they've got about 112. Luxembourg, they've got 108. Switzerland's got 214. And Australia is the only larger industrial nation, and it isn't even that big, right? All of Australia is abandoned,
no.
Okay, except for the coast.
Yeah, no one lives in the middle except for the
meteor
indigenous population.
Yeah, the big meteor.
Everybody lives in either on Perth and Fremantle on the west coast,
yep,
and Sydney, Melbourne, and the big cities on the east coast.
Other than that, that's it.
Nobody. No one lives in the middle of the interior of the country. They look at you like, what?
Nope. Yeah. Yeah. Only Crocodile Dundee went there. Okay. What happened to that guy?
That's Buff Spiro. Don't be talking about Crocodile Dundee.
Sorry. Did I get near one of the shrines of Buck's life?
Yeah. Now you know what? Now you just did it, man. You know what he's giving me now? What is he going to say? Wrestling ain't real now?
No.
What's going on?
No. Of course I would never say
that. No, don't do this today.
I love wrestling.
Yeah, don't say wrestling's not real, though. It's all real.
Yeah. Do you remember when Rowdy Piper, what was Rowdy?
Rowdy Piper.
When he beat the crap out of, who was the comedian? Andy,
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman. Went on TV saying, yeah, it ain't real, it's all fake.
That wasn't Rowdy Piper that beat up Andy Kaufman, though.
Who beat him up? I thought it was.
I can see it. He had a beard and a mustache, but a beard.
A beard and a mustache?
A beard. No, a mustache is included in a beard. I'm trying to think of the guy's name, though. But yeah, they were at an interview, like a David Letterman or Johnny Carson or something, and he said something and he smacked him. And then I'm trying to think. Then they fought, and then he like pile-drived him, and then he had his neck brace, and then they. But that was all. So the genius thing about Andy Kaufman was he's like a Sasha Baron Cohen.
Right.
You don't know where he's going to surface, and you don't know what he's going to do, and if it's been scripted.
Right. I think it was Jerry Lawler. In fact.
Yeah, that's it, Lawler. Jerry Lawler.
In fact, Duffy White says that he was responsible for all of that.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's familiar with Duffy White. We just did a battle study with him 3 weeks ago, right? He tells a really funny story about Mike getting electrocuted in Iraq.
Yeah, that's really funny.
You know, I'm writing a note right
now. Let me tell you a funny story about Gunner getting electrocuted. That's really funny.
Are you okay? I thought you were dead. What happened? So Duffy tells the story that he and his brother are working at the Marriott Inn in Memphis. Memphis has this huge wrestling culture there, and Jerry the King Lawler, the King. A play on Elvis being living in Memphis, right? Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah.
And so Duffy's brother is running the desk. Duffy's driving the van. So he goes over to the airport with the courtesy van, and in gets Andy Kaufman. And so they're driving back to the hotel, and Kaufman says, hey, you guys have wrestling here? And Duffy says, wrestling? This is the home of wrestling. He said, in fact, we got one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, Jerry the King Lawler. He's wrestling tomorrow night. And Kaufman says, I want to go watch that. And he said, well, we have some complimentary tickets we can give you if you want to go tomorrow night. And he says, yeah. I want to see, what's his nickname? Jerry the King Lawler, the greatest wrestler ever known to man. And there you have it, Duffy White. Duffy White set up the whole Andy Kaufman, Jerry the King Lawler. After hanging up on himself, rejoining us is Mike Mulson.
Hey, no. I'm sorry, but there's like a little switch on these Apple iPhones that have like a minus and a plus.
Yeah.
But the button in the middle actually hangs up the phone. I just never knew that until just now.
Oh, so we're monkey playing with buttons right now?
Well, I'm leaving it alone there. But you're talking about Duffy's talking about Lawler and their fight. Get ready to wrestle in Memphis, Tennessee. Tells Kaufman that there's a wrestling match tonight, and that's when he goes and meets Lawler.
Yeah, he goes and sees Lawler, and that's when this whole kind of made-for-TV thing blows up. And Andy Kaufman was all over the paper. But he did seriously get his ass beat because he kind of didn't play by the rules. You know, it's just I'm not saying that it's fake, okay? But there's a bit of cooperation there.
No, I get it. You can get hurt doing that stuff. I mean, it's not work.
Yeah, he offended him, and they beat him up. So, but then his thing was, right? He started to wrestle women.
Yeah, Randy Kaufman was wrestling women, and then he got beat up wrestling women too. And I think that's when he retired.
Yeah, and then he. Why do so many comedians leave the planet so early? Just unhappy people?
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of a deal.
I forgot all about Andy Kaufman. That guy was funny as hell.
Especially when the wrestling thing.
Remember the show Latka, when he was in Latka from Taxi?
Man, no.
He was hilarious.
I never watched Taxi.
That's right. He did Elvis imitation too.
What'd you say?
He did a lot of Elvis Presley imitations. He was really good at it.
You got to be careful with that. Sure. The hillbillies, they don't go for that.
You know, that's what I would do also with 200. If I won the lottery, I'd get my good buddies, Buck, you,
right.
Let's see who else. Luke would be funny in this one. Hell, we get Montana Man, we get Ron, we get some other guys, and we would all. I'd have a makeup artist come in, and they would do one era of Elvis Presley with the clothes, right? We each have, like, the white or the blue, the fake blue eagle on, the rhinestone on the back of the cape, or some era of the old days of Elvis Presley with one of his showcase wardrobes. And then we would all take a private jet into Vegas and then go to casino, gambling. Like that.
Well, nothing good would happen.
You know
that's
how
just
fun that would be?
I know, but something bad, something terrible would happen.
Imagine eight funny as hell people walking down the road dressed as Elvis coming towards you.
Is somebody yelling at you? Who's yelling at you?
Oh, Bob came in.
Oh. I got an email. So it says, what are the top healthcare rankings in the world? Kind of interesting. 16 is Canada. 15 is Qatar. All right. 14 is France. 13, Norway. 12, New Zealand. 11, Belgium.
Yeah.
10, Germany. 9, Israel. 8, Australia, 7, Hong Kong, 6, Sweden, 5, Netherlands, 4, Japan, 3, Switzerland, 2, Singapore, and number 1, Luxembourg.
Oh, it doesn't count.
I know, but there's some big countries in there. There's some big countries. Yeah, we're not in the top 16. Congratulations.
I mean, that would be like saying the safest country to live in is Luxembourg. Yeah, they got 6 cars.
Yeah, you're right. No, I'm with you. Their life expectancy is 83 years old, average.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. How old do you want to live to be? Do you want to live to be like 112 or 113?
No, God, no.
Yeah, it doesn't look
as long as I had my faculties and I could still walk around and poop by myself,
right?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Once I can't do that stuff on my own.
Do you ever see yourself wearing a diaper?
Actually, if I can't do it on my own.
Yes.
So, yeah, that would be out.
So, diaper is kind of a red line for you?
Yeah, that's it, man. I'm jumping off a cliff.
Where's Gunner? He's headed to the Grand Canyon. Going to go out in one big Thelma and Louise moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Where are you guys going for lunch today?
Nowhere.
Nowhere? You're not having lunch?
No. No, actually, I'm going to leave here shortly, go back. I got to pick up some stuff. And then I think Megan and I are going to watch England and Belgium.
Whoa!
She got hooked on it when we were in Germany. You know, so like I said, we were there during the World Cup.
Right.
You know, so and Germany was in the finals. So everywhere we were going, it was like everybody in Berlin was behind Germany. You know, we'd go to these places and there was like a ton of people, all footballers, fans dressed up and banners. So my daughter got into it. And, you know, having a background of, you know, a lot of our family ancestry comes mostly from Germany. So she was like, you know what, I'm going to pick up Germany because American Football League suck. You know, we just don't, we're mature. We're too immature. We're not good enough yet. And so she got behind Germany, like the big German flag that you see that they hold up in the stands. She got a German flag cowboy hat. So it's got, you know, the black, red, and yellow. And then she got, I mean, she just got a bunch of football stuff that you couldn't get here in the States. We got it in Germany. It's a big Deutschland banner that you hold up. You can put her up, the scarf thing.
Okay, let me ask you a question. So give an American equivalent of Germany not getting out of the group phase, what would be an American, like, American athletic comparison or something that would be akin to what it means to Germany to not get out of the group? Well,
okay, that'd be easy. That would be like if Kenya in Africa put together a football team and they came over here and beat our world champions.
That's the kind of catastrophe.
Where did these guys come from? If Luxembourg put together a football team.
And then just beat the shit out of whoever won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Americans.
They came in after, played the Super Bowl winner 2 weeks later and crushed them.
Right.
Mercy ruled them before the half is over.
That's what Germany is going through as a nation. Am I right? I think I read this.
They're the World Cup. They're the standing world champions right now.
No, but this is the first time in their history they've never gotten out of the group play.
First time in history they never advanced.
Oh, shit. All right, boys, pack
your shit. We talked about this. This is the downfall of countries like Germany. You know, they're transitioning. They're this stigma of Germany being this powerhouse European leader nation. It's gone. You know, they're a gelding. They've been snipped. Yeah.
Well, they don't have a military. I don't, like, how are you a country? Oh, we're going to cut off your imports. Okay, cut off our imports.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do to us? Yeah, I don't know that you can have a, I don't know that you can be a powerful country without a military. Oh, my bad.
Luxembourg is number one in healthcare, so, geez.
Yeah, but think about that. The Germans, they have one sport. So when you say Germany, what sport in Germany? It's football. That's it.
There's no other sport in Germany. Football.
What would be?
They don't play ice hockey in Germany.
Well, they do.
They don't play American football or baseball.
No,
they play a little bit of cricket, but not a lot. But it's football. Yeah. Everywhere you go. So if you've ever been in Germany, you go into like their big five sporting goods store equivalent or the academy or something. Whatever their equivalent to the big sporting goods store is, you walk in there, and you don't see nine different sporting good equipment. You see footballs, you see goaltender mitts, you see cleats. You know, it's football. Football, football, football.
All right, here's an email. I'll let you comment on it, then I'll let you go. Mac, we just don't want to be good in that sport because we don't care for it. Could you imagine if our best athletes, instead of playing basketball, football, running track, if you imagine our fastest athletes, guys like Deion Sanders, guys like LeBron James, if our best, quickest, fastest athletes played on an American national soccer team, we would annihilate the world. Good point.
Are they living in a joke world?
No, I think they're right.
Think they're right?
No, our best athletes, we'd crush the rest of the planet.
Okay, seriously? So
yes,
what,
crush.
What makes Deion Sanders so good?
He's fast.
You don't think that national football players in the world leagues, they're not fast players?
No. Not like American guys. We're faster.
All right. Well, let me wait. So I can have a meaningful conversation with you. I'm putting my clown hat on, and I'm playing my carnival music so I can step out of reality so we can talk about. I always ask that question because I want to judge. It's a litmus test of where we're at in as far as. Okay, now I get an understanding. Yeah, I agree with you. Totally. You're right.
Thank you. You want me to put the Calliope?
Are you kidding me?
Do you want me to put the Calliope music on?
You're kidding me right now. Well, that's why I do this with a lot of people, especially my wife. You know, you're like, you ask that question. You're like, are we in reality? You want a reality question or you want to play fantasy world? Oh, you want to play fantasy world? Okay, I'll play with you. So I get it. Yeah, so the person that wrote in says, you know, he used American football or baseball or basketball, for God's sakes. Yeah, there's a sport. You know, what talent is in basketball? So as far as playing football.
Yes.
You know, the only thing you can, okay, so let's equate it to that. So you're constantly moving, you're constantly running, you're moving, the endurance level's got to be extremely high. What sport never stops moving?
Here's what I'm saying, is if those guys, instead of playing, got on the pathway to their chosen sport, if they grew up playing soccer, we would annihilate the world. Yeah.
No.
Yes. And let me tell you why I say that. One, we have a huge population. Two, we have money. We have a lot of money that we spend on sports. Okay. And so we have athletic development programs that the rest of the world, you know, largely doesn't participate in. Now, developed nations do. So when you look at the population of the world by nation, we have the largest population that has access to those kind of programs. So if our best athletes gravitated to that sport, then I know what's going to come is, okay, Mac, by that rationale, then China and India should be the best. Yes, they should, but they're on their ass nations, and even though they have billions of people, they don't have programs for billions of people. Thank you.
What is
just say you're right, and I'll let you go. What's that?
What's the number one money-making sport in the world?
Horse racing.
Soccer. Football.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I said soccer because we're saying that. But that's the number one making sport. I mean, okay, so if you look at the top 10 athletes in the world, where are the top group? What do they play?
They all play
soccer.
Football.
Okay. So when you're looking at money that is available to players to entice them, which sport is that? That's football and soccer.
Yeah, but my point is it makes
the Dallas Cowboys payroll look like a joke.
I know, but that my point is England. Why if they have? I'm not talking about professional soccer. What I'm talking is your World Cup team is a function of how many people you have in your country and how sophisticated your athletes
are.
What's that?
They come together for a national team that can show nationality to that country. That's the national team.
Right.
These are the national teams.
Right.
So Ronaldo plays for an English team or a Spanish team.
Right.
Whatever, whoever plays the most.
Right.
Messi plays for Barcelona.
Right.
He's Argentina.
Right.
They go where the money is.
I know, but you don't understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying, the reason if the United States, if our national sport was soccer, the reason we would dominate it is because we have a large population and we have the economic resources to have programs, high-level programs all over the country. If our best athletes, if we shut down football, baseball, basketball, and everybody played football, right? European football. If everybody played that, we would annihilate the world. Okay.
No, it's not true. We're talking fantasy. We'd have to shut down all of our other sports.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so
if we did like they do,
that's good team.
What?
Okay, that could rise to the level and go to the American or go to the World Cup and not embarrass itself.
Right.
In the league of
Okay.
We have
okay. Let me end this conversation by playing the Trump. Let me end this conversation by playing the Trump card. Okay. Okay. So listen to this. Okay. In women's sports, there is only one sport that we play everywhere at huge numbers in the United States, and that is soccer. Okay. Who is another? Okay. Who is the long time reigning world champion in women's soccer?
It just started like 12
Thank
years
you.
Ago. So.
Just go ahead and say it. Say it.
You're using women as
say
as,
it.
Well, oh my God.
Say it.
No, I'm not going to say it because I'm
say
not.
Say it. Say it right now.
No. I'm going to teach monkeys to play soccer, and then they're going to be the greatest team ever.
They, if you had the money to develop them, they would. So why is Brazil so good in soccer? You want to know why? Because there's 207 million people in Brazil playing that sport, and they're pretty developed.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty developed. That's why Brazil is good.
Everyone.
Right?
For years. Yeah, you could play soccer with a sock filled with cotton. Or a can, or someone's dead head, a skull.
What? No, you can't do that.
Yeah, but what we're getting at though is again, it's not. We won't be good at it, even if we couldn't push all of our resources. We're gonna cancel football or baseball and basketball, and we're gonna focus on soccer. You know, and it's just, it goes back to our ignorance. If we say that, you know, that we don't, cause we don't understand it. So if we don't understand it, we either kill it or we disregard it as Americans, you know, as factual because we just don't understand. But when you look at soccer and you break it down or football, whatever we're talking about, you're looking at hand-eye coordination, the speed and the endurance and everything else, and you can't say that doesn't measure up to our top athletes. You're a buffoon.
No,
top midfielders, the top world midfielders aren't as fast as Barry Sanders or Deion Sanders or any one of our great running backs.
Yes, they're not.
These guys run four. They don't run just 40s in under four seconds. They do the whole field in that speed.
Okay, look.
They don't have burst of speed that lasts 40 meters.
Mike, there's a reason. There's a reason why Americans hold all kinds of world records, dominate in the summer games. There's a reason for that.
We dominated in what summer game?
In the Olympic games. There's a reason we have tons of world records. That's because we have the economic resources that once an athlete gets to a certain age, right, that we can pull these and we train them. And the women's program is emblematic of that. There is no other sport for women at high levels.
The Texans boycotted, didn't show up.
All right, let me read an email. Mac, you're right. We would kill it. If we put all of our resources into soccer and nothing else, we would dominate, no question. The women already do it. That's my point. So I'm not talking theoretical. Our women crush the World Cup of Soccer, and they crush the Olympics.
Women won the gold medal this last time, right?
No. They didn't win the gold medal this last time. What I'm saying is that they have reigned as champions. Our women's hockey team, right? They annihilate everybody. Okay?
Just give it time. Watch what happens. Watch what's going to happen in
India. Here we go. Now you're going to sell me the little engine that could.
No, where's women's soccer going to be in 8 years? Definitely not U.S. on top. You know why? Because the other countries that are less developed, that women don't get the same opportunities as American women
to excel in universities or colleges, and they start doing.
Sorry.
And they'll get to the top, and they have the opportunity.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We will always be better because we have a huge population and the money to put into high-level programs to then to be able to select a very small number from. The others don't have the population. No, it's a numbers game. It's just a number game. It's resources and population. That's why Brazil does what it does. Right?
Yeah, and watch when Brazilian women are allowed to play soccer at that type of level, city leagues and everything else, and then they start coming about.
I'm not saying they won't improve and they won't be good, but we have 100 million more people in our country than Brazil. So by numbers, if a lot of people are playing and you have that many more people playing and you have the resources dedicated to it, you are going to produce more high-level athletes.
Let's talk about this. You're right. You're on a good point. Okay.
Thank you.
So most of our best hockey players come from what country? America? No. And what are our best baseball players come from? America? And what of our best basketball players are now coming from? America? Football is the only one that's still left.
Well, I think your statistics are wrong, okay? But, right? But I understand. But I understand your point is that you see a lot of Latins playing in Major League Baseball, right?
Some of the best players are not American.
Right.
They come from here.
Okay.
They're chasing the money.
Okay, okay. No. See, you. God, this is so frustrating. When you're trying to win a stupid prize, it is so frustrating to deal with you, okay? It is so frustrating.
When LA enticed Beckham to leave England and come to United States with his Spice Girl wife,
right?
What was the enticement? To play better soccer against better people?
No, money.
Yeah, $500 million.
So, but I don't understand your point.
Out. But because the enticement is always money. We bring the talent in. The talent is
I'm talking about our national teams, not the people, the mercenaries that come here to play. I'm just talking about the national teams.
That's the point, though. I mean, so our national team, when we look at our national, so let's look at hockey. When we bring the national team together,
right.
When we allow the professionals to play,
right.
how did we fare?
I would have to go look it up. We normally do okay. It's normally us, the Swedes, the Canadians, and the Russians are the top ten. Of the top ten.
Well, I mean, top three.
We will compete in the top four. Okay.
Right. But again, it goes back to who's the better ones? The Russians, the Canadians, hell, the Swedes.
Yeah, and I would make the same argument. The reason why is they have more of their population, more of their athletes playing that sport, and they have the resources to devote to it. And so you're going to get better athletes. You're going to get more good athletes. The United States has a smaller population base playing those sports, and you're going to get fewer high-level athletes out of that. That's my only point. My only point is resources and population, right? That's my only point.
Okay.
And so if the United States, with 322 million people in it, if its national game was football, was European football, it would be one of the dominant teams on the country, in the world, because of the number of people and the resources in a developed nation that would be applied, and then the success you have as an example, by the American women's team. It's not our sport.
Yeah, and I understand your theory and hypothesis behind this, but I kind of reject it almost.
Well, you reject it because you're bringing, like, what do the Spice Girls and David Beckham have to do with that discussion?
That was me being the Democratic senator bringing in, like, the 2,000 incarcerated children on the border for like a tax bill that has nothing to do with it.
Were you trying to win a stupid prize? Hold on. Hold on. He's been missing since somebody like called in and asked about how to make homemade homemade explosives. But now he's been located again. Montana Man joins us. What's up?
I just want the conversation to stop. This bickering about fucking soccer. Here's Mac's point, Gunner, and I'm identifying which side I'm on early in this conversation.
Oh, wait.
Is that,
hey, Mac, you got Montana Man on your side. I give up.
Just shut up and listen for once.
No kidding.
You're the one that bashes him all the time. Now you're telling him, okay.
Germany basically plays one sport, a national sport. So all those people growing up are focused on that one sport. Compare back, you know, if Max saying if America only had one sport and say it was soccer, then all those kids growing up in all those schools would be focusing on playing that, and we'd crush them. That's the point, and I'm with you.
Thank you.
On that. Let's go to the basketball thing. You know, we pile a bunch of our kids into basketball growing up, and go to the Olympics every 4 years and see what happens there. And what if they had a American football world championship? It would be over. I mean, because that's where all those athletes go and what they focused on in high school.
Why is that a hard concept, man?
He's just being argumentative today.
No sense.
No, you're like acting like a monkey. You're like acting like a monkey today.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my God.
But how can it not make sense?
Because your reasoning behind it. I mean, so now, if your reason just those two, but if now, let's say, we add hockey or baseball, well, there's Canadian teams that play in the American team, so, and they're sometimes.
Well, you can take baseball, too. You know, every high school has a football team, every high school has a basketball team, and every high school has a baseball team. Most kids play those three sports. The soccer team is kind of looked at as, that's a kind of a second-rate sport. So a lot of kids
play it. We do really well in the season, and then we assume then that year the Canadians really focus in on hockey.
No, you are so close to winning the stupid prize right now. That's a professional sport. It's made up of athletes from all over the world. And so we're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about national teams. Resources and numbers.
What national team are we talking about?
We'll talk about any. You want to talk about women's soccer? We'll talk about that. You want to talk about European football and the World Cup? We'll talk about that.
Sure. Women's soccer, though, is in its infancy. It's true. Like I said, it's not. Give it some time. Watch where it goes.
All right.
When the other women in the other countries across the world get the same opportunities that these American women have experienced, they're going to crush it.
You know, look, the numbers say that won't be true because we have 322 million people here. And if the majority of our girls play soccer, and let's just say half the population, that's 150 million women in the country, let's say a third of them are soccer age playing, and let's just say of that third, of that 80, that'd be 32, let's just say of that 11 million, let's see, 111 million women of soccer playing age. Come on, that's like multiples of any other nation. And they're playing in coached advanced programs that can advance their skill level. Just by sheer numbers, we are always going to be one of the dominant players. And I don't
know. Right now.
Always. Numbers,
no.
Numbers, resources. We might not be the top every year, but we will always be one of the dominant teams.
I'm going to look into the women's soccer for you, and I'll send you a graph.
Send
you a graph.
Give
me your fucking Crayola crayon set.
Yeah,
right?
Have Megan give you a stupid prize today. Okay.
I ate all those crayons, so I go to buy some more.
Here's one for you. Women's golf. if you ever look at the leaderboard of, on any weekend of women's golf, why is it always, I mean, the whole leaderboard is Japanese. How does that happen?
Because they must be playing a lot more golf in Japan with the women.
That's what I think it is, and that goes back to the concept that we're talking about. It's that their national focus, you know, that's one of the only things they do. They don't have any space to have all these ball fields at every school, but they do have these, you know, 18-story driving ranges in all the cities. They've leaned towards
everywhere.
Everybody's doing that as a kid.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know the Japanese, they will kill your ass before they give you a water break.
Yeah, their training regime is probably pretty stiff.
Yeah. So the point there would be Japan's got 127 million people, right? That's a third of the United States, but they have twice as many women golfing, and they're a developed economic nation, and they have opportunities. So, yeah.
We have more women golfers in the United States than they do.
Just go back to the whole high
school. We got more
model.
People.
How many girls play soccer versus golf? How many girls play soccer versus field hockey? That's probably about the same number. We don't have a national field hockey team, I don't believe.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
I never watched it. How are we doing that?
But we're not good at that.
I don't know how good we are. I know I have a friend whose daughter used to play, but yeah, that's why I know we have a national team. But I don't know if we're any good. I don't know if we're going to see. So, but to me, it's not a America's better. It's simply population and resources. Here's another email. Pay for play doesn't exist in most countries with good soccer teams, and that makes it the best sport for poor kids with no other alternatives or opportunities to work towards a dream. No, I'm not saying it's not a good sport for kids. I'm not making that argument. It's a great sport for poor kids, like basketball is in the inner city. You need a basketball, and you don't even need two hoops. You only need one, right? So you can play. The discussion is, you know, is what started with, if our best athletes played one sport, we would annihilate the world. And I stick to it because our women do it. Our women do it. And
but Gunners,
we were pioneers. We can't. No, it was going back to that.
The other countries and women
use them
have an opportunity
because they were pioneers.
Who were
they? But watch, like I said, give it 8 years and watch where the women's soccer team goes to. They were killed last year. They're crushed.
Well, so when they got crushed, where did they finish in the overall tournament? Yeah. Third, fourth, being crushed.
I don't think they qualified. That's my point. Let me see.
No. I think you might want to check that. And we're talking about the Olympic tournament. What are we talking about?
No, they have a. Hang on. They have a inner league in between. Women's national soccer team.
All right. You're just making shit up now. Okay.
No, I'm looking at it right now. The United States Soccer Federation for Women.
Yeah.
United States?
We're talking about the world national team.
Yeah, United States.
We're talking about, and let me tell you, other nations will improve. As they develop economically, they would go down the same path we would go in. For instance, it's interesting. Japan has a population. Japan's women's soccer team is always good, right? But in theory, both China and India should dominate because of their population is four times ours. And if they have that many athletes, I mean, they should crush both the Olympics. They should crush any sport that they develop their nation to play. They should crush. But they don't have the developed programs because China around the industrial cities, yes. So what percentage of the population has access to competitive sports and that? Half, maybe, a third, maybe. Well, now they're the size of us in terms of who is actually playing. So I know there's a lot of math in this. So for you two rubes, it gets confusing. So I'm trying to break it down Barney style for your ass clowns.
See, Rob, you come to his aid, and this is how he treats you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I figure I'm listening for the first time in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Where have you been? Where have you been anyway? And what was the deal with the HME? Come on, man. What are you trying to go to jail for the rest of your life?
Well, I mean, a lot of ranchers get rid of, well, in this case, it's not a beaver dam. I got two huge debris piles in the main creek on the ranch, and it's like blocked it up so bad. I've got huge amounts of water.
Okay, be careful, because I don't want to have to Mirandize your ass right here live on the radio. Okay,
right. So I'm trying to get rid of these giant piles of debris.
Oh.
And the easiest way to do it would be to blow it up.
Okay, so what you're telling us is that alcohol wasn't involved in that text message?
No. Not at all. This is a problem-solving situation. Still haven't figured it out yet. But right. One of the interns does have a way to scramble his IP address, something
shit.
Like that, so he can search the internet without being identified.
Not,
so we're kind of going down that.
Not the internet, not the interns, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't blame those guys, man. Come on, that's low.
That's weak. Come on.
We're just trying to figure it out. Otherwise, we've got to get in there with chainsaws, and that's going to suck.
A beaver dam with chainsaw? Good luck with that, man.
Yeah, no, it's not fun. So
crash the $1,500 pickup into it. That'll knock it loose.
You can get a license. I mean, you can get a permit. You have to, I mean, a temporary permit to use it and then purchase it.
To do what?
Yeah.
Not military grade dynamite, but, you know, civilian, like blasting dynamite.
Yeah, that's all we need. We tried.
Yeah, you see cratering stuff.
That was unimpressive.
Yeah, you need a pushing, something with a low RE. You're good.
You know.
Yeah, you should just go down the county and ask for. I need a high explosive permit, and if they look at you and say we haven't issued one, then you know that none of the farmers go get them. So then you can just blast away, and then if you get hauled into court, you can say that. Well, they haven't issued one in 87 years. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I just went and I blew my shit up like everybody else, but they don't like me here because I'm from Idaho, and they look at me like I'm an outsider, even though I'm a veteran. That's how we're treating veterans these days. You can play all those cards. One, did I say I'm a disabled veteran? Yeah. I had spots on my liver last year. Yeah. Because I got a drinking problem.
The county's not real happy with us right now. I think they might be a little better off today because over the weekend we jerked out two cattle guards on the ranch, but there's a Forest Service road that runs through the ranch.
Uh-oh.
And we don't use those cattle guards anymore, and I want to put them somewhere else on the ranch. So we jerk them out, put them back in somewhere else. Tuesday I get a call from the Forest Service all fired up why we stole their cattle guards.
They know you. You used to work for them. Did you tell them? Hey, ask
them. No. I didn't want to play that card yet. Yeah. We're still. I said, and so I went. Well, you show me that you own them because I'm told they're ours. They're the ranches. Then we'll go from there.
Uh-oh.
10 minutes later, the fucking county sheriff calls.
Ooh.
And he's fired up. But he's got his facts all wrong. He thinks it's on the county road, and I'm like, no, sir, it's not on the county road. This is on Forest Service road, and I'm already talking to them about it. So, he's like, it's a felony, and it's public endangerment. He starts throwing all this around. I'm like, sir, you're kind of wrong here.
Were you calling him sir?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good move.
Like trying to be nice about logic and speak with facts, you know. And so finally I convinced him that he might be wrong, so he pawned me off on the county road guy who I called, and he's like, yeah, what are you talking about? I don't know why he's so upset. I was like, yeah, okay, thanks.
Hey, and just for the record, there's nothing wrong with sucking a little ass as long as you don't like it, okay?
Yeah, no, I was trying to be nice to the guy. It's a small town, you know. Timber Bar, had two beers at the Timber Bar and a mutton burger. I don't need the sheriff trying to hunt me down after I've had two beers and screwing with me.
Because they will.
Just look at him next time and say, I'm going to run against your ass, and then I'll be the sheriff.
He's
done this year. This is his last year. The problem is the guy that's come behind him, I guess, isn't much better talking to some other folks.
Well, yeah, go ahead and threaten him like Mike was talking and see how that works out for you.
Yeah, no.
See how that.
Anytime I went to town, I'd be getting pulled over.
And then they're going to find out that you're like from Connecticut. You went to prep school. They're going to run your shit right out of Montana. You'll be Luxembourg man next time. Exactly. Okay, Mike, do you want to apologize to everybody for being stupid or what?
What?
Do you want to apologize to everybody for being a dumbass today?
What was I doing?
All right. See, this is...
If you do not understand the intellectual plane that I actually reside on, then I'm sorry if you think that sounds stupid.
There you have it. But you know what, folks? You can't make this shit up either, okay? Say that again. The intellectual plane that you exist on? Did that shit actually come out of your mouth?
Yeah, the problem is we know that plane.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
I seen that plane. It's called Ass Clown Plane. All right, I'm done with you. Hey, Red Sox Yankees tomorrow. You guys fired up?
Yeah.
Well, that's on Saturday, isn't it?
No, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, bozo. All right, sweep in Yankee Stadium. Not going to be pretty, boys. Not going to be pretty.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, I know. You don't start watching baseball until it's till September, right?
August.
What a joke. That means...
Hey, wait a second. Are you guys going to the change command before you go? Now hang up.
Yes.
Idiot.
No, Montana man's not going. He's got a concert to go to.
I got family coming in town.
That's bullshit. You're like, you know what? Just so you know, you're on like we're not even trying to make it secret. You're on probation for that punk ass move.
Yeah, well, if I'd have known ahead of time, I could have planned accordingly.
How many months notice do you need?
Well, my sister bought plane tickets, so I'm not going to screw that up.
It's your sister.
Yeah.
Hello?
Tell him you got the plague and you've been quarantined.
Yeah. Tell him you've been recalled to active duty for a period of 72 hours and you'll see her on Monday. Videotape the concert.
Yeah, that could be done.
All right. I'm not saying that we expect to see you.
It's Mac. Me, Mac, and who else? Rudy going?
Rudy's gone.
What about Lucas?
Lucas is, I'm not sure if Lucas is going. I don't think Lucas can make it. I think he's got an active duty commitment that he can't get out of.
There's no such thing. Unless you're freaking in the country.
Rudy's going?
Yes.
Is he flying?
Okay.
He wants to fly, but you, ass clown, are screwing the whole thing up. Well, I get the jet, but, you know, if there's only two of us going, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I'm like, you guys are kidding me.
All three dressed up like Elvis for his change of command and sit there with Elvis' son.
No. tell everybody what you did with your RSVP to this change of command. Mike's a VIP at this division change of command at Camp Lejeune in August. Tell them what you did with your RSVP.
What do you mean? She called me.
All right, tell them what you did. All the instructions you put on the RSVP response.
Oh, I was messing with Kelly. Kelly's the protocol officer, so I told her, like, you know, make sure that the salinity of the water that I'm drinking is between these parameters and that the ice that is in my water, it can only be frozen water from, you know, like, I think Newfoundland or, I mean, she was laughing. She knows me.
There you have it. The gunner.
I haven't sent mine back yet.
Mine's still in I think it's still in the mailbox. I haven't got it out of the mailbox. I got called on that the other night. Hey, let me know when you got your invitation. I haven't
seen it. Maybe you didn't get one.
Yeah, maybe I didn't get one. No, trust me, I got one. I'm like it.
Hey, you can come as my plus one.
What?
You can be my plus one.
I'm not. I will never be your plus one. I am.
You never live that down.
Are you kidding me? How could I exist on that intellectual plane?
Yeah, it'd be funny, wouldn't it? See your chair named Gunner Musselman's guest.
Hey, look,
AKA bitch.
I've sat in worse chairs than that, right? And it didn't even bother me. Hey, look, I've been the bitch to way worse people than you are, so don't, it doesn't even, would not even faze me. All right, I'm done with you two. Say goodbye.
All right, man.
All right, man. Later. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. I don't know how that happened, and I want to apologize to everybody. I don't know how that happened. I should be better than to allow that to happen. Yeah, but I'm not. I'm not. So, accept my apology. He doesn't understand the math behind national teams. Right. And so, to me, it would be pretty interesting statistical analysis to take a nation and say, okay, what number of, what part of the population is playing competitive sports and his, you know, and then what part, what percentage of your population just doesn't play? And so then you adjust your population figure. So in the United States, it would be 100%. If you grew up in the United States and you're a gifted athlete, somebody's going to recognize that in grammar school or middle school or high school. And people begin to open those doors. So, you're wrong, Mac. We are only number one in sports where the playing field is level. It's not. Our kids go to school every day. Then they play video games the majority of the rest of their days. In other countries, kids play the sports you are using as your examples the majority of their day. Just goes to show you. You can take the Marine out of the enlistment, but you can never take the enlisted out of the Marine. That's right. I wish it was some other way, but it's not. There's a reason they need guidance from officers, because they fuck it up all the time. That's right. So, but it's their right. It's their right to be wrong. I get it. It's a democracy. It's a free country. God love them. So, that'll do it on a Thursday. If you missed the program today, you're going to get a little bit of intellectual development and inspiration from Charles Krauthammer and Jeremiah Workman in Hour 2. Hour 1, talking about veterans running for office. Yeah. And why that's a good thing. Right? And, you know, the analyzing our political world and how you can make the democracy better so the Jerry Springer show that we see every day out of Washington, D.C., we can get that thing back in a can where politicians go to Washington, D.C. and they actually get after the problems of the nation, okay? And if you say healthcare is a problem, nothing done about it. If you say immigration is a problem, nothing done about that. That's what our elected leaders do, okay? We need different people. We need different people. And so what other group of people are you going to tap other than veterans that give you a chance to return service and compromise as part of that equation? I don't think there is, right? And even a percentage of veterans aren't going to do it. But I think you have a better shot with veterans because they've served. Some of them actually do get it. Not all of them, some of them. All right. So, with that said, have a great afternoon on a Thursday. All Marine Radio, over and out.